Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 2. I want you to remember Matthew 1 as we read Matthew 2. In Matthew 1 is this genealogy that is decidedly Jewish. The genealogy, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ is recorded there, who is then said to be, according to the truth, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and so on. Well, in Matthew chapter 2, there's a departure from this Jewish line in the sense that the subject turns now to Gentiles, to kings or wise men, whatever they were, from the east, who come to worship this Jew, this king of the Jews, who's the Messiah. We're going to be speaking about that this morning, and we've spoke of that today, or we've spoke of that before together, but with more understanding, hopefully, from your servant, but also among you, with more understanding of just what this is all about, the visit of the wise men to Jesus, that we might visit him every day. Matthew 2, 1 through 12, hear the word of the Lord. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," and they're citing here Micah chapter 5, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Thus far we read this narrative of the visit of wise men from the east to Jesus in Bethlehem. May God bless this reading and now this sermon to our hearts, for our faith, and for our living, as those who've visited Jesus, and to whom Jesus himself has come. Here they are, these kings, or wise men, or those who were in other ways notable, from the east. And not much known about them and the carols that laud this visit of these wise men, as we'll see, don't really have it right, and they certainly miss the point of this visit of the wise men to Jesus. They come and they say few words except that we've come to worship him who is the king of the Jews. We've seen his star in the east. And there's nothing said even of what they say when they worship Jesus. They just bow and they present their gifts. And silently, as one has described, they steal away, never to be heard from again. These wise men from the East, they go back another way home. But they're never the same, of course, as we'll see. They've been visited by God, and that's why they visit Jesus and worship Him. And this, too, is for us. And this is striking how the Bible here presents this first recorded worship in the canonical New Testament in Matthew. I know there were angels and shepherds worshiping Jesus in Luke, but in Matthew, the first recorded worship of anyone of Jesus the King. And this we know is for our learning. It's the Word of God, after all, and we do well to take heed. And what I've learned over the years, and God be praised, you have too, is to be more and more Christ-centered and to think more and more about the connection, therefore, of these wise men and that star with Jesus the Messiah. You see, it's easy even for ministers and congregants to think about the star. Talk about the wonderful star, the miracle star. Think about the identity of the wise men. How are they wise and so on? And to neglect, really, or to put to the side the worship that they render to the babe and the babe that they worship himself, who is Jesus, Son of God, God with us, Son of Man. But we don't want to do that. And hopefully we've learned over the years that there is this great connection here, as always, in this word, with the word of the word, with the wisdom of God in that child Jesus, who is worshipped now by these wise men and should be by us. So let's consider the Magi and the Messiah and that connection between them two. And I'm going to do not speculation, but surmising with you. As in the first point, I'd like to consider that their real home was not East, but it was heaven. And they came, therefore, from heaven to Bethlehem. And they came just as in a similar way as Jesus came from heaven. Why don't you think about that? And myself as well. And we'll find that this is eminently biblical. And then secondly, we want to consider that they followed his star. They call the star that they saw overhead and then over Bethlehem his star, and what that means. And then we want to consider that they are forever for him, even though Herod is against him and the Jews are troubled by him. And though they go back home, they're not leaving Jesus. They're forever for him. And the legacy of these wise men who worship Jesus, well, we are the heritage of God's covenant of grace. So let's consider, first of all, their origination, and that this is where Jesus came from, heaven. Lots of speculation about the wise men. I've slipped into the popular carol hymnody theology, which is often just ology, not theology, not Christology, just some pretended knowledge. Ology without theology or Christology, the knowledge of God or the knowledge of Christ, is not a good thing. As the universities used to remind us when they were universities, everything was to be theological. But now we have hymns that aren't so concerned about theology. And so they say that here's the fact that kings were coming in those noble magoi, that's their name, the magi, the wise men, and that they were kings. And even the religious people of the world, they cite some striking texts And we do well to think of those that lead us to think that maybe these were kings. And I just dwell on this for a little bit, because Psalm 68:29 says, because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. And the verse prior to that is, your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you've done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. That sounds a lot like the visit of the Magi, kings bringing presents to Jesus. We have as well Psalm 72, which is often cited as proof that these were kings. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Psalm 72, verse 10, verse 11. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And so it could very well be, they say, and a lot of the church has concluded this, that these were kings who brought their homage and their gifts to the King of Kings. And that's why it's striking that they identify Jesus as the King of the Jews. They're kings, but there's something outstanding and stellar and shining of this King of the Jews, now just a little toddler, and they worship him. So it could very well be, we surmise, and there's some scripture to back it. And then the call to worship, which we heard last week and also this week. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light. Gentiles, the wise men were no doubt Gentiles. And all and kings to the brightness of your rising. So there seems to be a connection there between Old Testament prophesying of kings visiting Jerusalem and Jerusalem's king and this visit of the wise men. Well, fact is, that's as far as we can go, because there's no direct and even logical link for our concluding, thus saith the Lord, these were kings. But they were magoi, which means wise. And they were somehow wise according to the Eastern wisdom. That's what we do understand and know for a fact was the case among those in the East, whether it was as far east as China or Babylon, Persia and Arabia and so on. We don't know. But they had this wisdom. Daniel speaks of the fact that Daniel himself was given to be the head of the Magoi in Babylon when he was there in captivity, because he showed his wisdom to be greater than all of the Magoi, the wise men and the astronomers and so on of the age. It's what kings would do, children. They'd gather all of the wise guys in their kingdom and try to discern things and be entertained by their knowledge of stars and comets or even things biological and things of the earth. But whatever, there was this mystique about these men who by learning or by simple DNA were head and shoulders above the rest of the kings and others in the kingdom. And so they were esteemed highly. Well, that's the case, indeed, I think we can surely say of these wise men. Naturally, they were wise and maybe elevated to the realm of kings and to the position of kings. And so they had these lavish gifts to give Jesus, and they bowed before him, the King of the Jews. But all that really is something that serves us as we consider the gospel here of their true wisdom. For they came to Jesus and they followed his star from the east to the west, and they were relentless in their pursuit of him whom they would worship. This is their wisdom, and this tells us of the certainty of their true home and origination, and that is heaven. Because no one of this fallen planet comes to Jesus to worship him who's not one who is wise with wisdom from above. The nature of sin is to say no to the King of the Jews and to the King who is Jesus, especially, who is really God with us, who is worshipped by these wise men, maybe kings, before whom every nation must worship. I say this whole world would rather renounce him and turn away from him unless they can just go to him and say how cute he is. And so the wise men here, they show this thing called wisdom, and they show something of the origination that God has worked in them, a new beginning, a new home. They are graced. Wise men and women, young and old, single and married, they are graced men and women and single and married people. They are graced for this because naturally the fools go away from Jesus, the real Jesus, and they would certainly not bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, maybe trinkets. They'd certainly come to church maybe because it's what their parents have taught them, and will come and we'll give a little bit of lip service and a little bit of our time and talents and so on. But they don't come as these truly wise men who are from heaven, after all, and fundamentally. They don't come with this sincerity of heart. And you see, the miracle, and I'm getting ahead of myself, that's all right. The miracle of this whole event is not the star, but it's the work of grace in the hearts of these wise men. Their reorientation, which is not sexual, but religious, from fools, the fools who have said in their heart there is no God and who blat it out as well, wherever they can, there's no God, there's no Messiah like this Jesus that the Christians worship. No, that's nonsense, that's divisive, that's not true. But the wisdom from above is what these people, these wise men have. Amazing. And so you see, when they come from the east, and as they testify to Herod and the rest of Jerusalem hears, and as they go and they worship the babe, it's like where Jesus has come from. The same heaven. And there's a connection, therefore, between what God has done. And it could be right now about 2 years ago that he was born in Bethlehem, and the shepherds came and the angels sang out on that Christmas morn and then evening. We don't know, but it's some time. They're in a house now, Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And they come. But there's something that connects these wise men who are drawn irresistibly to Jesus with the Father in heaven, who's the Father of Jesus, the eternal and natural Father of the eternal and natural and only begotten Son, but who's the Father also of these wise men by grace and adoption. And that's why they come. They are drawn. And they can do no otherwise. You see, their values have been turned around. And we don't know when this happened exactly. When they were converted, as we say, born again, as we say. When somehow they were enlightened to the wisdom of a Daniel from whom they might have learned it, for all we know, in Babylon. And they were the heirs of this legacy that there was a Jewish people that had a very peculiar understanding of things, and that there would be a Messiah and a star that would rise out of Bethlehem and so on, a star of Jacob. We don't know, but they had this connection with the wisdom from on high, with Jesus, with the Son of the Father, of whom now they were little brothers. Jesus, their elder brother. And by whom they would be saved. because this one is the Messiah, the King of the Jews and the King of Gentiles too, and the Savior of the world. That's what's revealed here. So all eyes are on heaven and heaven's Jesus and heaven's sons that are born to worship Jesus. That's the story of the Magi. There's this wonderful thing that's happening. Before it was the Jews, and look at them. They have some knowledge of God and they know the facts. Micah 5:2, I know it. They were ordained in their churches and whatever, the mosques or the temples, the synagogues, to know the facts of Messiah. Micah 5:2. Isaiah 60, verse 3. Psalm 68. Genesis. They knew it all. But they didn't know Jesus. That's something. The greatest of the fools were the Jerusalemite fools. And Herod, of course, leading the way, that half-breed from Esau. Amazing. So these wise men, they come and outshine by far the wisdom of the Jews because they know something personally about this Messiah. There's a connection, a living connection, not just some theological head knowledge. They, in the heart, have been visited by God, and that's where they will visit God. That's the story, the gospel of the visit of the Magi, the Messiah. And, of course, Jesus is so singular. His birth is an incarnation. Of course, He's God. And there's their birth, the new birth of the Magi is being born again of sinners. Fools turn to the wisdom of God from the idols to serve the living God, as the Thessalonians were in chapter 1, verse, or the first epistle. We learn that. But there's this unity. Could be no otherwise. And this is affirmed by their following. They follow His star. And that star, here's in this other puzzle, really, of the Magi and the visiting. They follow this star, and there's been lots of surmisings about this star that they saw. And they saw it in the east, and then they saw it again, a light upon the house that Jesus was in, just over the house. Lots of people say, well, this is maybe a comet. And it flared in the east, wherever it was, Babylon, Arabia, China. And somehow these wise men put two and two together, and maybe they directed themselves toward the direction the comet was going and followed that. And maybe it appeared again. We don't know this comet as they were traveling to the west. And maybe it was a supernova, as the astronomers tell us, and some other thing of the stars and the skies. We don't know, in fact, whether or not God created a star at this time. Could have been. That was His will. He could create a star, a special star, just for that. You know that, children, don't you? God is able to do anything He wants. It is a question, though, whether there is revelation that God actually creates new things after the 6 days of creation. Leave that to the theologians to squibble about, I guess. But God could. And certainly, and this is what we need to know, that was the miracle here. It was a miracle star. The timing, the direction in which it led to Jerusalem and then Bethlehem, reappearing, apparently it disappeared for a while, but then appeared again had been high in the heavens, and they followed it, and they were able to follow it for however long they were traveling, hundreds of miles. And then it appeared and located Jesus right where he was with Joseph and Mary. And there was no doubt about it. The star was pointing to the star, Jesus. And I call him the star because Balaam, another unlikely prophet, in Numbers 24, speaks of a star rising out of Jacob, who is a king. He has a scepter. Amazing. And this could very well be a reference to that. God would put a star in the heaven to show off the glories of the star of Jacob who would arise, who's the king of the Jews. Again, miracle. The miracle of God's revelation and God's handiwork pointing wise men to Jesus. And that's the miracle of it, you know. Not just a miracle that flashes in the sky and you say, wow, that was impressive. But miracles in the Bible are wonders from heaven. And they're all about the one whose name is wonderful and counselor and mighty God and everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. That's how you can tell even a miracle today and the authenticity of it. Does it point to Jesus? Does it point to the Word of God? Does it confirm what God has said and what He's saying principally in the gospel message of Old and New Testament? I am God, and I am God with the people in Jesus Christ. If the miracle doesn't do that, if it just draws attention to the miracle worker, it's a miracle from hell. And Jesus himself says there's going to be lots of miracles at the end of time. Matthew 7, people are going to say, I did this, I cast out demons in your name. And many, he says, will come to me at that day. And he'll say, I never knew you. Out of here, depart from me. I never knew you. You were of Satan. Well, this miracle. The star. But I want to commend to your attention that the greatest of the miracles here of revelation was not just this general revelation, this miracle that everybody could see if they had eyes to see that this was different. But it was the miracle of the confirmation of that star. That is, words that must have been communicated to the wise men about the nature of that star and that it was his star, Jesus' star. In other words, it was the communication somehow to these wise men that articulated, spelled out very clearly that this miracle was the miracle of the Son of God born among men called the Messiah of the Jews. And he's our Messiah too. That's what they were claiming in this. Now, how do we know that they knew this? Well, because they themselves were able to say that this was not just any star, this was his star, the star of the King of Jews. And that's why they came to Jerusalem. And it could very well be that, again, as I said, that wisdom that Daniel had communicated to the Babylonians in his stay there hundreds of years before, somehow it trickled down to these wise men. There could have been Jews of the diaspora, of the dispersion, who were living in Arabia, Babylon, or China, wherever these people were. It somehow had been told them. And lo and behold, at the proper time, God himself was going to confirm what they knew by a star, and his moving inside and enlightening their mind was what this was all about, God saving them, enlightening them, and God directing them. Because that's what the miracle of grace and of the communication of God's word always does among his people. It takes over. So that you're never the same. It calls us to arise and to shine, for our light is come, and with the call is grace to listen to the call and to come to where the light is. We call it irresistible grace. Creative words of God among His people. That's what God does. And so these wise men were led by this revelation. And they followed it. They didn't resist. They followed it. It doesn't matter that they had a meeting or two of the Magi next month on the calendar. And it was in a warmer spot of the country. And so they could really relax in the winter months or whatever it was. They came. Didn't matter what people said to them. They came. And they were so focused on this. They get to Jerusalem and somehow Herod finds out and they find out that Herod is the one to go to. And they bring this word to him. And then the chief priests and the scribes of the people are gathered together and they inquire. Herod inquires of them where Christ should be born. They're told it's Bethlehem. And it doesn't matter to them what everybody else might say with regard to anything else. They go and they listen. They follow that revelation. It doesn't matter how anyone else reacts to it. You know here, Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him at the revelation. They weren't. And when they got to Jesus and they found out he was just a little boy, and he didn't have maybe a royal nose and a royal mien and demeanor, he was just a little boy. And his parents didn't seem like much. That didn't bother them either. They weren't troubled by his humiliation. Crucial. They simply followed the revelation. They simply followed the leading of God. And there they were following Him. Not just His star anymore. That's the difference between a true believer and a half believer. If there can be anyone like that. Half believers follow Jesus' star, maybe. Or some things that are nicely put about Jesus and would be nice to believe and make you feel good. Believers follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. You too? And this confirms, you see, that they were gods. They were true believers, true wise men. But something else. When they got there and they worshipped Him. As I say in my point in the outline, they were for Him. And they showed that they were for Jesus because they adored Jesus. And again, if we're for Jesus, we will adore Jesus. Oh, we're not for Jesus. Look what they did. They came and they saw and they weren't stumbling over this little babe of no likeness that we should desire Him. They didn't stumble over His humiliation. They saw the star, and when they saw the star again, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. You can imagine the prospect of their hearts seeing the one who was the King of the Jews. It was just, they just about had a heart attack. Their hearts were so full of this one. They'd seen Herod, they'd seen the Jews. What a marvelous land, Jerusalem. What a religious people and so on. When they came and they saw the star again, and then when they saw the child, they could hardly contain themselves. They bowed down and they worshipped. They fell down, our text says, and they worship. And then they opened their treasures and took out a quarter, took out a rattle, No. They took out the best. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, we're not told just why, some speculate. Gold, that's a symbol of kings. Frankincense, a symbol of one who is to be worshipped. The incense would rise up to God when you'd offer burns frankincense. Myrrh, symbol of his humiliation, maybe his mortality, maybe his death. This Jesus. Now, again, that's what the philosophers and theologians have speculated, is the symbolism of the gold and frankincense and myrrh. We're just not sure, according to the light of the word, yet we shall be in heaven. But we do know this. They gave their all. They had to, because Jesus was their all. They gave their all. They gave not trinkets. They gave not rattles that might be becoming to a little boy. Maybe they did. Later on, who knows? But this is their worship. This characterized them. And so they were for him. And then when they are warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And there's something, of course, significant here. And I believe it's the wise men, again, in their minds saying, we're for Jesus, and therefore we're not going to risk our worship of him or the one's life who is being threatened by going to Herod. They could have gained a lot by going back to Herod, perhaps. Maybe Herod the king could have rewarded them for their diligence in doing what he said, so that he said he might worship him. Be that as it may, they would be rewarded of God. They were divinely warned in a dream, verse 12. God spoke to them. They listened to the warning. Because, you see, they would do everything for Jesus, even when they were now going away from Jesus. Here's this physical transposition. They're going back to their home in the east. But the fact is, they're still for Jesus, though they're going away for now from Jesus. And we don't know if they ever came back to Jerusalem, if they ever saw Jesus. Imagine that reunion it might have been. And the kings came back, or the wise men came back, and they said, we're the ones that came to you. You don't remember it, maybe, but surely Mary does, and all of this. But we don't know. Again, that would be nice for the annals of our own biographies and so on, but it's not in the Bible. The point that needs to be made is that they were forever for Jesus, and beloved, in their legacy, which is us, they show the foreverness of this true religion. And this is what I leave you with. These Gentile wise men are pictures of the opening of the field of harvest to the world. The Jewish line is not the important thing anymore when Jesus comes and when he dies and when he rises again for sinners. Because, excuse me, God in Jesus would show the great generosity that he has, the grace of grace and the fullness of grace that's come in him, could not come by Moses, but grace and truth, they come by Jesus. And grace is to, well, those who are not Jews, to those who don't have much religion, to those who are from the East and the brothels of the East, to those who are from the West and San Francisco, and to those who are from the Midwest and a Jerusalem, which Grand Rapids is called, which is largely departed from the faith. But God still has his own, and they are called to come. And from the north and south as well. South. God calls his people. They're calling you. Has he called us? Of course he's called us. We're his church, professing believers, and God be praised. You see the connection of everything in the Bible and everything in your life with God's leading. You see that, don't you? And we see that increasingly as we grow together in this past year. And as God joins us to one another, and some of us in marriage, and all of us in the friendship of Christ, we see that Jesus is everything. And He visits us in His Word, and we love the Bible now because there's no stars now that He gives. We have the miracle of the Word of God written, inspired, and the Holy Spirit within. And we do the same thing. And we love to do the same thing. We follow wherever He leads. And we bring our all, don't we? And don't you, young people? This is what you say when you confess your faith. And when you get your house and your life in order and you say, I'm a true disciple of Jesus and now I want to be a public Christian. This is what these men from the East now were and became. They were known to be disciples of Jesus. The first ones from the East, from the Gentiles. Foretaste of our being public Christians and forever Christians. People of God, bring your gifts, your gold, your frankincense, your myrrh, yourself, your devotion. This year and always, do that. Whatever talents you've given, whatever place in the kingdom you have, know that it's a place for a dignitary that God says is born from heaven. And so that it doesn't matter where you're from so much as where you're going, as long as where you're from is from heaven. And as long as God is faithful, which He will forever be, we shall be faithful. Here we stand, here we bow and worship the King of the Jews, our King and Savior. Amen. We thank You, Father, for the gift of the Magi in the Bible. The gift of that revelation that shows us that from the most unlikely of places, even from any place on earth, You make sons of heaven and wise people and devoted people and people who travel from where they are and where they've been to Jesus always. All roads lead to Him. This is what we say as we travel the journey of faith. God in heaven, we pray, bless us on that narrow way to Bethlehem and to Him whom angels adore, wise men worship, whom sinners rejoice in. Thank You for the worship this morning. Bless each and every heart, all of us together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.